Father was always looking for the consolation of Israel, our Mashiach, or as you would say, our Messiah. He would come in power and throw out the hated conquerors of our land. Romans, Philistines, Greeks, Assyrians, it didn't matter. There was always someone. We were told this was punishment from God for our sins. Even though I was young, I was taught the law of Moses. I was told about these sins, but I used to wonder, who had time to do any of that stuff? All we did was work, all day, every day. Except Shabbat, of course. Maybe everyone got in trouble that day. Anyway, once a year, we would take a small goat to the temple in Jerusalem for our sins, just in case. It was so exciting. I was in awe of Jerusalem and the temple. So huge, so rich, such clothes and robes, the music, and trumpets. I love trumpets. I loved our trips to Jerusalem. I have a little sister, Abby. Abby means my father's delight. It does not mean my big brother's delight. She was only three, but she could sure get me in trouble. Soon she would spend all day in the house helping our mother with food preparation. In the meantime, all the housework seemed to fall on me because I wasn't big enough to work the fields. Here was the thing about being a Jew back in those days. Rumors flew around constantly of the Messiah. Here he comes. There he is. Trying to raise an army to rouse us up to take on the Romans. These men would show up from time to time, but they disappeared quickly. I was too young to understand all this, but I saw the yearning in my father's face, how he longed to be free. One day the village was in an uproar. Someone had arrived and was speaking in our little town. Could this be our long-awaited Messiah? My father heard the commotion and ran in from the field. He grabbed me out of the yard, dirt and all, and raced into town, practically dragging me along. There was a crowd in the town square. Everyone was talking at once. I caught a glimpse of him over the packed people. You see, my father had put me up on his shoulders. I could see better than everyone. Father was so excited. He pushed to the front of the crowd so we could hear what he had to say. There he was, sitting on a tree stump. A hush fell over the crowd, and he began speaking quietly. My father's shoulders slumped, and I felt the excitement drain out of him. I was old enough to understand what his disappointment was about. My father was looking for a warrior, a strong leader. Who was this quiet man? Where was his army? The men standing around him sure didn't look very impressive. I didn't see any swords or spears or helmets. No trumpets. My father started to turn away, but there was a shout. Something was happening. Nathaniel, one of the local beggars, was standing and walking. People were stunned. How could this be? He never walked. My father told me his legs didn't work. There was so much confusion and noise. I didn't understand any of it. But Father was trembling. He frequently gave Nathaniel a meal or a kind word. And here Nathaniel was looking strong and well, except for the tears running down his face. Why was he crying? Wasn't he happy he could walk? Adults are so confusing. The man asked for quiet. He began to teach again. His voice was soft, but there was something about him. He seemed so kind. My father kept inching closer and closer. I really didn't understand much of what this man said. Something about sowing wheat. And he kept talking about his heavenly father. Was he a farmer too? In heaven? Anyway, I liked him. He wasn't stiff and formal like our local priest reading from a scroll. He actually smiled as he talked. I wondered if he liked kids. Even kids that got in trouble all the time. When he stopped talking, people surged around him. My father was big and strong. He pushed forward past everyone and set me on the ground right in front of him. My father asked him for the Jewish blessing of the children for me. The man looked down at me and smiled. He placed his hand on my head and spoke the blessing. My hair stood up. I felt like someone was pouring warm oil all over my head. Other kids from the village were pushed forward by their parents, too. This kind man touched all of us grubby kids. Amazing. And he had a smile for each of us. This seemed to anger some of the men who were standing by, but the man became upset. He said something sternly, and everyone became quiet. My father lifted me up and took me home. He didn't say much that night. Father went to synagogue the next day and talked to the priest. Afterward, he said this man could not be the Messiah. The Messiah was strong and a warrior. He had an army with spears and chariots and stuff. But my father thought he must be a prophet. He had to be. Who else could do miracles like that but the finger of God? Next spring, we made our yearly trip to Jerusalem for Passover, our most important holiday. No sooner did we get to the outskirts of the city than there was a huge uproar. People were going crazy. Some were shouting, "Messiah! Messiah!" My father was carrying Abby. He tossed her to my mother like a sack of onions and took off at a run. Okay, maybe not like a sack of onions, but he sure was in a hurry. What was going on? I was sitting right on Samson, right on the side of the road, so I could see pretty good. And here came another little donkey, just like Samson. And that man was sitting on it, the one who made my head all warm. People were tearing branches off the trees on the side of the road. I couldn't believe it. Do you know how much trouble I would get into if I did that? But no one seemed to care. And they were shouting, "Hosanna, God save." Even I knew what that meant. Did someone decide this man was Messiah after all? He climbed off the donkey right next to me. He seemed to be ignoring the crowd, but he looked at the city and talked softly to those around him. He began to cry. Why was he crying? Didn't everyone like him? I was so confused. Adults. And still no army. Still no trumpets. Our time in Jerusalem was different that year. The whole city was tense, troubled. Even I could feel it. My mother would not let me and Abby out of her sight. She insisted we leave early. My father started to argue, but my mother said we were leaving and gave my father that look, and, well, he started packing. I know that look all too well myself. Like the time... Never mind. Later we were told this man had made the priests and leaders really mad and they had crucified him. Crucified? I didn't know what that was, but my father knew. Oh, he was so angry. He said they did that to the worst criminals. My father got in an argument with our local priest. He told my father that this man had claimed to be the Messiah, but had no plan to throw out the Romans. He must have been a fake. He deserved to die. But my father hauled Nathanael in before the priest and asked him, if this man were a fake, how could he heal him? And I wanted to know how he made my head so warm. Wasn't that a miracle too? No one had any answers. Everyone was upset. Just a few months later, there were lots of rumors about this man. My father said his name was Jesus, and some were claiming he came back to life after he was crucified. Then a traveling rabbi came through town. He asked to speak at synagogue on Shabbat. He began to read out of the prophet Isaiah, my favorite. He read a part how someone special would suffer for the people. I'd never heard that part before. He told us that Jesus, who was crucified, was the Messiah, and he suffered for us. I still wasn't sure about that sin stuff, but I remembered how kind Jesus had been and how he smiled at me, how my head had gotten so warm. This rabbi said we no longer needed to take a goat to the temple each year. This man, Jesus, got all that sin stuff taken care of for good. And then came the really funny part. He said all we had to do was believe in Jesus, and Jesus would be our friend. He must have seen me looking at him because he smiled and said to me, Jesus really likes kids. I was so happy. I told Jesus I liked him, and I asked him if he would be my friend. So did my parents and my little sister. So did Nathanael. Later, I asked Samson if he would like to be Jesus' friend too, and his ears went up. That always means yes. Life didn't get much easier for us. There was a lot of debate in the village about this Jesus. Passions ran high. But he was my friend. I dreamed about him. He was always smiling at me. It made me feel good. As I got older, I began to understand more about the crucifixion, that Jesus was more concerned about the inside of us than the outside. He said that's where the real problems came from, and that's what he came to fix. And we learned about the importance of communion, how it celebrates that Jesus died for our sins. After all the kind of complicated Jewish holidays, this seems so simple. And now that I'm older, I understand that sin stuff. It doesn't just happen on Shabbat. And sacrificing goats can't really set us free from sin in God's eyes. Only Jesus can do that. You know, I think all the kids in our village came to believe in Jesus. Every single one. Just like me, they all remembered when he touched them, how kind he was. They would dream of him too. Our village was never the same after that. The Romans didn't go away, but with our friend Jesus, our Messiah, we knew we were free. To anyone who reads these words in the future, I think you should ask Jesus to be your friend too, especially if you were a kid. There was just something about the way he smiled at me. I think he puts up with adults, but I'm pretty sure he really likes kids best. Even kids that get in trouble all the time. Shalom. Jesus, you are so kind. Thank you for your smile. Thank you for being our friend. We ask for your blessing on every child here today. Every child of God, even us adults. You don't just put up with us. You actually love us. How amazing is that? Thank you. We love you. You are our hope and our joy. We will celebrate the wonder of your cross and your friendship for all eternity.